19 years. I've been here for 19 years. I'm a success. I'm amazing. Most ministers just don't make it past seven in a church. Yeah. And too many personalities clash and what have you, or they run out of stories, or they do whatever. They don't make it past that. Clearly, it's not just me that's a success. It's the whole community that's a success. We've done a lot of things together. I know many lives have changed radically, absolutely radically, as a result of David and I serving here. In our retreats, people sing. People sing who never sang in their lives. People sing who were afraid. Yeah, others have participated in that, but our vision, we came here. So this is, believe me, it's not a bad thing. It seems like whenever anyone hears, they think, oh, you're losing your job. You must be so upset. And I'm not. It's time. It's absolutely time for me to leave. It probably should have happened a year ago. But it's time, you know, and the feedback I'm getting is a lot of people are no longer fed here by me, and they don't care for me in whatever way, and that's okay too. You know, people have personalities and they have opinions, and that is not the thing. The thing is, how are we going to treat this? Are we going to treat this respectfully? I have a story to tell, and it's about a small town, a temple in a small town. And a member of the temple, he sees his rabbi go down the street one day and grab a piece of fruit, take it and walk away from a fruit stand. And he said, My rabbi steals. What do I do with that? And so he started telling people in that community, the rabbi stole fruit the other day. What do I do? You know, we can't have a thief for a rabbi. Well, it gets back to the rabbi, so the rabbi calls the guy in and says, what's this about? He says, I saw you stealing. And he said, what do you mean you saw me stealing? I saw you pick that fruit right up out of that cart and you walked away without paying. And the rabbi said, well, actually, I have a deal with the fruit vendor. I pay him on Monday for the week, and every day I just grab a piece of fruit. And I go on, and the man is mortified. And he says, what do I do? How do I make this up to you? How do I make restitution? You know, the amends, as it were. Those of you in those fellowships know that word. What do I do? And the rabbi thinks for a second. He says, I'll tell you what you do. Come back here tonight. And the man comes back and gives the man a feather pillow. And he says, now go up on the top of the tower, break that pillow open, and scatter those feathers everywhere. And then come see me tomorrow. Great. So he's going to make his amends. He goes up, he scatters the feathers. The next day he comes to see the rabbi and he says, now what do I do? And he says, go gather every single one of those feathers and bring them back to me. And he says, but I can't do that. And he says, that's right. The damage has been done. Don't do damage here. It won't pay off. It absolutely will not pay off. Friendships will be lost. Relationships will be lost. If we do this appropriately, the heart will be maintained. You know, there's already been a couple of friendships gone. They're just gone this week. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to spread that far and wide. And so you might say, what does this have to do with divine will? Because that is my talk today, divine will. We're on a 12-week series, which will end on December 31st with divine life, the 12th. Of the 12th power. Even Teresa, when she speaks, is going to speak on one of the 12 powers. And so, to look at this, divine will, I want to read it because it's easier than memorizing. The metaphysical definition of divine will. The will is the executive power. Remember, last week was faith. Faith is our yes power. What are you saying yes to? And it's in the center of the brain. Will is behind the left eye. The will is the executive faculty of the mind, the determining factor in mankind. What man wills or decrees comes to pass in his experience. What does that mean? If you project the worst, you get the worst. If you project the best, you get the best. Most of us project something in between, we get something in between. Fuzzy demonstrations, as my minister used to call them. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. That comes from Job 22:28. The will is the center in mind and body around which you revolve all the activities that constitute consciousness. It is the avenue through which the I am expresses its potentiality. The will may be said to be the man, or humankind, whatever way you want, because it is the directive power that determines character formation. When man wills to do the will of God, he exercises his individual will in wisdom, love, and spiritual understanding. He builds spiritual character. All right, I am just like cotton. There's like somebody shoved cotton in my mouth. I think I'll get my water. I got a whole big mug of it here. Oh, that is so much better. Kind of like the gift. The use of the will is very important in making demonstrations. One must be very persistent, since persistence is essential to demonstration. Truth builds the perfect body. And the will must resolutely lay hold and keep hold of the word of truth until the word becomes flesh. Now, will and desire. Desire is a reaching out of the mind for satisfaction. Will is the controlling, directing faculty of mind. One may have the desire to be well and yet not have the will to be well. Do we hear that? You know, so we get together, we talk about peace and love and joy, but we may not have the will to demonstrate peace and love and joy. It's a hard one for us because, and I'll tell you why in a second. Will and the I am. The will is the executive faculty of the mind and carries out the edicts of the I am. All thoughts that go in and out of man's consciousness pass the gate at which sits the will. If the will understands its office, the character and value of every thought are inquired into a certain tribute, is exacted for the benefit of the whole man. So will and wisdom, when the will of man adheres to wisdom faithfully and carries out in its work the plans that are idealized in wisdom, it creates in man a consciousness of harmony and peace. Spirit breathes into such an individual continually the inspiration and knowledge necessary to give him superior understanding, and then personal will. The adversary in sense consciousness will, he usurps power and considers himself the rightful ruler. This erroneous belief relating to personal will, good one, discerned and adjusted by spiritual thoughts attained through prayer. This adversary troubles us because we strive to maintain personal freedom instead of submitting to divine guidance. Self-confidence is a virtue when founded on the truth of being, but when it arises from the personal consciousness, it keeps man from his dominion. So here's the issue with what we talk about with divine will, divine idealism. We all want things a certain way that we think is good. Am I right? Mm-hmm. We want to say, oh, divine love and wisdom, it works and it flows through everyone, except where we don't want it to. See, if I am trying to change the world through my will, it's never going to take effect because the world itself is not real. Spirit is what's real. The invisible is what's real. I can change all the chairs in this room thinking, oh, now I will be comfortable. And I can use self-will run riot to raise the money to change the chairs in this room. And then I get the chairs and I've still got the itch. I've still got the dissatisfaction. I've still got, you know, those of us in relationships, anybody? You know, we can try to change the other person through our will. I will beat them down. And David and I have tried in our own way to change each other over the years, and it never works. It brings about resentment. It brings about a competitive nature in the home, but it does not bring about a positive change in either one of us. Anybody ever tried to change their parents to make them better parents? It never works. I'll tell you when I changed my mother, or at least my mother changed, is when I decided I wanted to love her. That's what she changed. My mother was a great mother to me the last 5 years of her life because I didn't need her not to be who she had behaved as her whole life. And suddenly she shifted. I remember my brother saying to me, who was here last week, he said, "You say she's changed and I don't see it." And I said, "Well, you may be right, but I've changed. So she's different to me." See, if I show up expecting resistance, I get resistance. If I show up expecting love, I get love. If I show up expecting lack and limitation, I get lack and limitation. Because, you see, I may have a, say I have a desire, a divine will for prosperity, a divine will for love and joy. But it may just be my personal desire for it, but I don't actually have the will for it. And so I have to look into that. Well, where is my willingness? Where is, you know, I know I want these things. How come I'm not experiencing them? How come I'm met with resistance? How come nobody likes me at work? How come nobody likes me at the club, my country club? I don't belong to a country club, but you know what I mean. How come nobody likes me at my bingo parlor? Why is it people in my church don't like me? Why is it here, the restaurant I go to, why is it people don't like me? I love my tip. Why don't they love me? Because I haven't opened myself up to experience love. If I'm trying to get them to love me, chances are I'm not trying to get me to love them. If I'm trying to get you all to compensate for my childhood, I'm not seeing what can I give you? What do I have to offer you? I have a desire to experience peace and harmony in every aspect of my life, but I may not have the divine will yet. So with this talk, explore that and say, is what I desire showing up in my life? Is it? And if it is, fantastic, you know you're on the right track. And if it isn't, you got to look at that and say, what's up here? Am I getting what I need? And if I'm not, chances are I'm not giving it to myself. All that I give to myself. Let's be very clear on that. All that I give to myself. And I've experienced on more than one occasion, when I give an attitude, I get an attitude. And the sad part is sometimes it's not even someone out there giving me an attitude, it's me giving myself an attitude when I get home. Sometimes we want healing and we want peace and we love and joy. Now, who here thinks they are willing for peace on earth? Yeah. Who here is creating it? Yeah. What are you doing to create peace on earth? What are you doing in your conversations when you get together with friends? Are you talking about how sad this earth is? Are you talking about all the awful politicians, whoever they may be? Are you talking about world leaders and how bad they are? Are you talking about neighborhoods and how bad they are? Are you talking about your body and how bad it is and how it betrays you? Are you? What are your thoughts? Because you're not then willing for peace, and you got to pay attention to that. What are your conversations? What are your thoughts? How do you treat yourself when you get up in the morning and spend the day with yourself? Do you look in the mirror or get on the scale and criticize you? I learned years ago when I declared I am willing to experience whatever, I have to ask myself, am I? Am I? If it means they, whoever they is, gets away with it, then am I willing that they be at peace? Are there exceptions to God? Well, in my ego, of course there are. I want this one to be happy, joyous, and free, and I want this one to pay for the unhappiness that they caused me, the fear that they brought about. Oh, but this one's okay. This one's okay. That one's not. You know, and so we pick and choose through life as if we have the power to judge. And don't get me wrong, I am in as big a struggle as anybody might be here. I have not. If I weren't, I'd be talking. I'd be up a little higher and I wouldn't need this floor to stand on. I would have ascended if I had already completed that part of my journey. I need it as much as anybody, maybe more than some. But it's a process. As David likes to say, one day I will be complete with this, but today is not that day. I had to laugh. We were at a party last night in the city, there was a songwriter there. He has this one song that I just dearly love. It's called "It Really Is Nicer With You," Lenny Babish. And I was asking him about it. I said, could I get that? And he said, yeah, you know, I remember this one guy, and he named the name. And when David walked away, I said, you know, that's the singer that David's old boyfriend left him for, don't you? I said, well, that was an uncomfortable moment. But David, all these years later, isn't mad at that guy anymore. But it's still a pang. There's still a... Yeah. But it's a memory more than a reality anymore. And so you have to pay attention. Is this upset a reality, or is it just a memory that's sitting somewhere in a cell? And when I say a cell, I mean in my body. That tells me, you're supposed to be upset here. And it's like, and you realize, but I'm not upset. But you're supposed to be, Sean. But I'm not. It's like an old desire for a cigarette that sometimes comes to me. And says, this would be a good time to smoke. And it's like, I don't smoke anymore. Oh, but you should, really. Just one. And it's like, no, thank you. Thank you, I don't need that. It's like when after I did the labyrinth at the Unity Village and I came home and drove over the big bridge. It's like, you're supposed to be afraid on this bridge. But I'm not. But you're supposed to be today. But I'm not. Because I align my will with my faith when I walk that labyrinth, not to get over bridges, but to align with the will of God. And I do believe whatever God is, it's not that God is wanting of anything. God is not a person. I don't know how many more years I got 2 more months to say it. I don't have many more years. I have 2 more months to reinforce to everybody, God is not a person. Stop looking to the sky to get him to do something. If he hasn't done it all, clearly that doesn't work, or it would work all the time. There's no absence of love in God because God is love itself. So stop looking somewhere. Start looking in here. You look within. So you got 2 months of me telling you, go within. Find your peace, find your joy, find your love. Find the strength of your being. Find what is. And I'm going to tell you something. Most of you aren't going to do it. No offense, I really not attacking. Most of you, because you still want somebody out there to come and take care of you. You still want the God of your childhood. We like unity. We like the sound of it. It all sounds good until you find out you are personally responsible for your spirituality. You want spiritual food? Pick up the spoon and feed it to yourself. Because it's the only way you're ever going to get it. My minister in New York, who taught me a lot, never spiritually fed me. I had to take what he offered and give it to myself. I have been in many a restaurant. Anybody? Have you ever ordered soup in a restaurant? Have you ever seen the waitress pick up your spoon and feed it to you? No, you gotta pick up your spoon and eat your soup. And so, for the rest of your time in your physicality, pick up your spoon. Find out how delicious, how absolutely delicious taking your responsibility for your spiritual self can be. Align your will with the will of God. with the will of life, with the will of love. Align it, because it's pretty great. But you won't ever not be responsible for giving it to yourself. Nobody is going to give you, you'll feel good when certain people say certain things. Oh, we love intellectual stimulation, but it doesn't last unless I give it to myself. I knew a minister once in New York. She was dazzling. She had a huge following. But I always knew if she sold you a car, I wasn't sure how far it would drive. She didn't give you a foundation of spirituality, but boy, it was exciting to listen to her. It was just thrilling. It's like, oh, I've got all this. And then you get home, I'm like, what'd she say? And then so they had to go back next week to be dazzled all over again. It was amazing. It was really impressive. But I couldn't find the substance under it all. So it told me if I wanted to find substance under what she was talking about, I had to do my research. I had to open my books. Because I wanted my relationship with God more than I wanted her approval or any teacher's approval. And I've gotten lost in that kind of thing too. I want the will of God aligned with my will, or my will aligned with the will of God. They're really not separate. It's just, I don't know which day I'm going to be willing for the willingness. So I'd like y'all to get comfortable in your chairs. You're welcome to close your eyes. You're welcome to keep them open. I invite you to welcome in stillness. I invite you to welcome in peace. And it's not welcome it in from the outside. It's welcome it in from your highest consciousness. Welcome in what it is you so desire to know. Don't bother to desire the world right now. Desire yourself. Let's go on in. Take a breath. So these 12 minutes of silence might be the best food I've ever given you. It's the best spirituality I've ever had to offer. I wonder if it had occurred to me 19 years ago to only be silent. What that would have been like for us. But as we move from here, don't worry for me because I'm amazing. And I won't worry for you because you're amazing. As Kenya Michaels, one of those of you who don't know, said, I am a fierce bitch, baby. Because we all know that together. I am a fierce bitch, baby. And so it is. Amen.